Hey everybody, I'm Brandon Tracy and welcome back to the Authentic Agent Podcast, where we have honest and authentic conversations about all things real estate and business. Wherever you are, thank you for dedicating a portion of your day to the Authentic Agent Podcast. Before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsor, Magnus Title. Thank you, Angela, Kiernan, and Magnus. Magnus Title, reach out to Angela and schedule a time to talk with her. She's pure hustle and her team values client service and elite level professional communication. You and your clients will love them, and you will certainly feel Angela's impact on your business. We will post Angela's information below if you are tuning in live on Facebook. Otherwise, you can reach her at Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A dot Kiernan, K-I-E-R-N-A-N at Magnus Title. com. Our guest today is Jeremy Clevin, co-owner at My Home Group.
Hey,
back to the podcast, Jeremy.
It's good to be back.
Man, My Home Group, the fastest growing brokerage in Arizona on Inc. 500s, 5 years in a row, is the fastest growing, one of the fastest growing companies in the country. On track to do over $5 billion in sales this year, 35 locations across 9 states, Arizona, California, Washington, Nevada, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Michigan, Utah, and New Jersey coming soon.
Yes, sir.
So you got a little something to provide today.
I hope so.
You know a thing or two.
I hope so. I do know how to be real, and in this case, authentic. So
absolutely.
You know, and transparent. So.
Well, we appreciate you coming back to the podcast, and especially over the content that we're going to cover today, which is going to be failure rates, right? Kind of a tricky concept, and something that we like to just sweep under the rug here in real estate. But as a broker owner, someone with massive insight into the influx of agents coming in and out of brokerages and in and out of the industry, you're undoubtedly gonna be positioned to give us some good value today.
I hope so.
So yep. Thanks for coming back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
Right? I mean, yeah. Enough of the fluff. Let's go. You know, we talk about failure rates a lot, and you and I discussed this a little bit before. The, you know, 95% is kind of the number that gets floated out there, you know, and that's like if you do some Google research and everything, you're going to see somewhere in between, you know, 80 and even upwards of 97%. But whatever it is, you know, depending on your marketplace, as we discuss, we can agree that it's an extremely high failure rate.
Too high, yeah.
Yeah, and one of my biggest gripes is always why is this happening, but why is this acceptable?
Yeah,
right. I mean, there's so much money in our industry. The amount of money exchanged in our industry, the value of the assets, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars being exchanged on a minute-to-minute basis across the United States, and we have really no auditing process, no system, no anything. It just seems to me that it's weird that we have such a high failure rate given the stakes that are involved in real estate.
So true. I mean, there's so much opportunity, yet we have so many people that are sadly failing in this industry. And I think a lot of it's to do with expectations.
Yeah.
And the folks around this industry that like to leech on to us agents out there to make their own businesses, you know, I think successful, yeah. You know. And a lot of times we point to this. I think it's this commonplace to point to, well, it's a low barrier of entry, mm-hmm. and it's easy to get into this industry. And it is, obviously, but there's a huge separation from the folks that are doing it at a very high level and those that aren't. But I think that it's not necessarily the low barrier of entry. I think it's, you know, folks getting into this industry because there's been this picture painted that it's easy money, mm-hmm. right? And that we can get in and money's going to rain from the sky and we're not going to have to work that hard, mm-hmm. and we're all going to become millionaires overnight.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we all know that's not the case. It's just simply not the case.
But we do.
We do. yeah.
We do. You're exactly right. And we talked about this. The low barrier of entry is obviously real, but is that what's at fault? It always seems to me that it's like, what's the cheese? Right. Yeah. Like what's the cheese in the trap? And we talked about this really briefly before we got going today, that it does feel like if you really take a 30,000 foot view of the business of real estate in the industry of real estate and all the contributing factors to it, that it seems to me that it makes sense that the powers that be, whether it's, you know, the industry leaders or your MLSs, your real estate boards, your National Association of Realtors, like all the fee collectors. Right. Yeah. All the gatekeepers that you have to pay them money to get your license or pay them money to keep your license. It makes sense that they need to perpetuate the idea that real estate's easy, that it's easy money, that you can come in and control your own schedule and be your own boss and all of the lies, right? The HGTV highlights and Facebook highlights. And they need that to happen because we've got a giant revolving door. If all of those fees are revolving doors for those businesses and revolving at 95%, it makes sense that we need to keep perpetuating the idea that this is easy so that there's enough new people coming through the door to replace all the fees that are leaving out the back end.
Oh yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, clearly they have their own interests in mind that don't exactly cater to, you know, to serve the agents
or the clients.
Or the clients, right? Yeah. In turn,
they mask behind that though.
Right.
They mask behind like fiduciary.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it goes beyond that too, you know, and one of my, you know, points that I'd like to touch on just a little bit as well is that, you know, there are all those folks out there that you're like you're mentioning that have a stake in the agents, you know, for their own businesses, meaning obviously paying dues and, mm-hmm. you know, the cost to keep your license active, you know, and then, you know, taking it a step further is that I'm a big believer in spend time, not money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get into this industry sometimes, or folks do sometimes, that, you know, they want to spend money. We're getting nickel and dimed to death, you know, and they want to have this, you know, the marketing set up and the branding and the logo and everything crispy clean, you know, and it's spend the time and not necessarily the money, you know, because before you know it, you know, we have folks, you know, again, getting into this industry and getting nickel and dimed to death before they've even closed the sale.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's partially their fault though, right? Is because they didn't come into the industry with the idea of like, listen, I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to really, what I lack in skill in the beginning, what I lack in resources in the beginning, I'm totally going to have to make up for an effort. Right. And that effort is hard and it's riddled with rejection and fear and reluctancy and failure and having to be able to deal with failure, evaluate failure, retool it, try again. That's not just something that people have inherently that they can just do. Right. Mm-hmm. Society hasn't set us up that way to just feel good about failure. Right. We're trying to avoid it at all costs. And I just feel like what we want to do is we want to spend money to buy something easy that fixes all of our problems. Like we're willing to pay the $1,500 for this coaching program or this thing or whatever. I mean, there's a million of them. You can just pay the money and then the promises, I'll make it easy on you. And then you get in there and you're like, oh man, I still got to do the work. I still got to own my own level of participation. And I get that. I inherently get that we want it to be easier. I'd love it to be easier too. And if I could pay $2,000 and be assured that all of my problems are being taken care of,
of course, hey,
I would do it too.
Right, right.
But that's what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I think that there's this picture painted that this business is easy and that it's easy money. And it's just not the case. And again, we know that. And we hope that other folks understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowing that they have to, like you said, they have to, you know, embrace no. They have to go through failure. I think a lot of people fail in this industry. I'm not going to quote stats, but I think that there's some, you know, stat out there that if you can make it 2 years in this industry, then you can make it. You know, I don't know if that's true, if it's two or three or whatever. But I think that, again, there's a lack of direction and there's a lack of structured roadmaps out there for people to tap into. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that humbly we've tried to change, you know, along the way, you know, here is that, you know, not just having structured, you know, roadmaps for people, but something where people can get plugged into right out of the gate. Because if we're all fumbling, I think every agent on planet Earth, I mean, Brandon, how long did it take you? How long were you fumbling around before you figured it out?
Years.
So years, plural, right? So you are in the minority or the small percentages of people mm-hmm. that fumbled around for years, but then actually ultimately, you know, made it. I don't know that we've ever made it, but like, you know, we've never made it, but you're
the joke
on the
in
path.
Real estate is you're always 45 days from being out of the business, right?
Think
no matter
about,
where you are.
Think about that. Yeah. So, you know, you're on the right path to making it. We'll say that, right? So, again, so if it's 2 years or 3 years and we have folks out there that are quote unquote fumbling around for 6 months, a year, 2 years in your case, then now, oh my God, that window of opportunity, you know, to get on the right path. And it's, we were talking about a little bit, you know, before on air, it's not just surviving for mm-hmm. 2 years or 3 years so that you can quote unquote, you know, ultimately turn the corner to be successful. It's doing the right things for that course of time to ultimately set yourself up for that long-term success.
Yeah, it's not just about making it 2 years, surviving long enough. It's about thriving. It's about doing the right thing during that two-year period when everything's not going in your favor, when the work that you're doing isn't giving you the results that you want, and understanding that that's what being an entrepreneur is. It's about, we build businesses, we don't receive them. And when we build something, we might be building for 2 years. What are we building? Well, we're building momentum in some cases. We're building some relevancy. We're building consistency into our communications, right? There's a lot of people in this industry and everybody has their own take on it, but success in real estate is sequential by nature. It's just not simultaneous. The work that you do today, you will not be rewarded for this week or next month. A lot of what we're doing every single day is with an eye towards the future. It's an eye towards snowballing the effects of our work through consistency so that they ultimately give us a deliverable. And then that's when we start to build business and leverage so that we can stay in those influential areas of our business, right?
I mean, so very well said. And a lot of people, again, we expect it's going to happen overnight. And again, that we're going to get into this industry and it's going to be easy money and it's all just going to happen overnight. And, you know, I've been kind of playing around with this line in my head and I don't really know how to articulate it so much. Maybe you can do it, you know, for me here. But the general concept is that, you know, in business, and especially this industry, there should be zero patience, right? You shouldn't ever be waiting around for somebody else, waiting around for something to happen. The whole getting ready to get ready thing, you know, stop waiting and just go, you know? So the line of something along, there's, you know, no room for patience in business other than the time it takes to build it.
Yeah.
You know, we think that it's going to happen overnight, and businesses take a long time to build. And this is a long game play. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't one client, one deal, one commission check. This is like you said, you're planting the seeds, you're putting in the foundation to get, you know, the opportunity, hopefully, to have some long-term gain some long-term, success.
Yeah, because the business is more complex, right? Most people come in and that, like somebody said, oh, you're really likable and you're really social, you'd be a good real estate agent, right? Like how is, like, where did that become like the qualifying deal for? Because it's not. It's absolutely not. Those same people that are saying, oh, you're super friendly and you're nice and you meet people really easy, you should be a real estate agent, they're all coming into the industry. They're all taking that advice and they're all circling back out within 2 years. And mind you, the two-year mark is when license renewal comes up. Many of these people are done in 6 months.
Right.
Like, or they have credit card debt that they've been racking up trying to stay, you know, keep up with the Joneses in real estate and try and figure out, like, okay, I just got to keep spending this money on my credit card until I figure it out. Right. And then when I figure it out, it'll be magic money. I'll be rich in, you know, in a month. And it's just not the case. And one of the reasons I think that is because when we look at real estate, we simply look at it at a micro level, which is just in the buying or selling of property. But real estate is so much bigger than that. And in my opinion, the number one and most important thing in real estate is building a business system or structure around how you're going to fix your client acquisition problem. Who's your next client? Where are they coming from? And ultimately, how are you going to make that a predictable model so that you can feel safe and secure in this business?
Yep.
And no one's really talking
about that. That's one of the hardest things.
It is the hardest thing.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the hardest thing to identify who is the next person that is going to be my client. Yep. And what do I have to do to make that happen every day? Not just the next one, but the one after that and the one after that and the one after that. That has to be part of your business model.
Yep. Yep.
That shocks people a little bit when they get in here.
Right.
Well, I just thought people would come to me because I have a real estate license.
Yeah.
Like, you know, by next year, all of our dogs are going to have real estate licenses, right? Having a real estate license doesn't qualify you for anything.
Right.
Everybody knows there's a low barrier of entry. Even the consumers are just like, this is a joke a little bit, right? So it's a lot more complex. And I think when you come into real estate, if you come in with a healthier understanding of what you're going to have to do, I think ultimately you'd be setting yourself up for better success, right? So what do they have to do?
That's a loaded question. And I think
purpose.
And it's a yeah. I love that. I think this is a concept that I think we talked about for a long time. I think that one of the lines that you've said that I've ripped years ago, that I love a lot is that, you know, we have a responsibility to get into relationship with as many people as we possibly can. And then how do you move the needle from a relationship to professional trust? I love that. You
know, like and love to quote, professional trust and confidence.
Quote Brandon Tracy. You know what I mean? You know, so having that understanding that we have to get into relationship with people. It's not a buy or sell thing. A lot of times, you know, we're trying to put out this thing of like, who wants to buy or sell, right? And versus getting into relationship and trying to serve people, you know? And fundamentally, we have to understand and keep in mind that this is a human connection, human resource business. We've all heard that before. It might be common sense, but it's not common practice, you know, to get into true human relation, to human relationship with people and to serve people and, you know, to serve their, to serve their needs.
And to do it in a business-like way.
Right.
Right. And this is what people kind of flounder around on the relationship-based stuff, too, is you can absolutely employ business systems and strategies to help leverage you to build relationships.
Right.
That is okay.
Right.
You know, like it doesn't mean it's like, well, how do I be in relationship with 150 people? Well, not all of them are coming over for Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
Like that's not what this is. So but it does need to be said that, you know, there's been a lot of things that have come in and out of our industry, from techniques and lead generation and internet leads. And the truth is we're all funding these things because we're afraid to be in relationship with too many people.
Right.
Or any people at all, especially from a professional standpoint.
Right.
So let's buy the leads. Let's do the things. Let's do all of this stuff to avoid having to do the thing that we know will work best.
Yep.
And most of that's just wrapped around fear. And reluctancy and rejection.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a tough one.
Anyone that's been around this industry for any length of time has heard the concept of the prospecting versus marketing. And I think for the newer folks that get into this industry and why we have a high failure rate is because folks want to get in. And I touched a little bit on this, you know, a bit ago, is that folks want to get in and they want to spend money. And they think that they need to spend money to get to be successful, if I could if I could speak. You know, but I don't care if you're a brand new agent. I don't care if you're a, you know, mid-tier, top tier. You know, having the you know, not just the ability, but the attention to focus on prospecting, which is obviously that offensive, you know, you know, marketing is a defensive action. Again, I know you understand this, and a lot of folks out there understand this, but again, it's not always common practice. We want to focus on the marketing, which is that defensive action. We want to put something into the marketplace. We can control the time that it delivers, and we can control the message, and we can control things like that. But we can't control the consumer to then turn around and pick up their phone. We have to sit there and wait for that to come to us. It's a very defensive type of an action. And it also costs money, right? So prospecting is going on, obviously, on that offensive, controlling your own destiny, and you can control that. You know, you can control how many calls you can make today. You know, you can control how many doors you knock on, how many, you know, events you go to, how many open houses you're going to do this for the next 30 days, right? You can control that for the most part. I know life gets in the way sometimes, things happen, you get sick, whatever it may be. But generally speaking, you can control that. We can control that, you know, and really going in and honing in and having the focus to prospect and to go on the offensive, and all from an adding value, nurturing type of way. And I think a lot of times what can increase these failure rates is that we're too attached to the outcome that some of them have sometimes, right? We're too attached to, well, I'm not making enough money. The bank account's not where I want it to be. The closings aren't where I want it to be, right? And we get too attached to the outcome, where I think that we need to dial it back and attach to that process, right? So detach from the outcome and attach to the process that's going to get us to those results.
Right.
Again, attach to the things that you can control. There's so many things in this industry that are out of our control. I like to refer to us sometimes as project managers, right? Because we have to manage all these different, you know, aspects of this industry, you know, putting out fires over here, and it might not necessarily relate to the client all the time, you know? But attaching to that process and to the things that you can control. And if we've ever heard the concept, you know, lead measures versus lag measures, I think a lot of people, again, they focus on the result that they essentially can't control at that very moment.
Right.
Right. Versus attaching to that process, and focusing on the things that you can control that are going to get you there.
Yeah.
You know,
two things I want to visit about what you just said, one being marketing and one being prospecting. First, marketing. The trouble is when you come into real estate, you don't really have a good understanding of what marketing is. I didn't. Marketing is not in creating a pretty flyer or having a cool Facebook post or, you know, having a good just listed, just sold card. And what a lot of agents will do is they'll get caught up with so much of their time, energy, and effort, you know, dedicated to this creative side of of developing these little materials. Well, listen, those are just posts. Those are just fun posts. And you hide behind the guys that they're somehow marketing. If you start to learn what marketing is, and this has been a new venture for me, is really understand marketing, right? Understand how does marketing move people to take action and make decisions, right? And I'm telling you, it's not about just putting a piece of content out there. There's a whole world of marketing psychologists out there that are studying how people make decisions. And all of those resources are readily available to learn and be utilized for all of us. And I think we miss that. We miss just having creative content versus, okay, how do I take creative content and put it into a marketing form, which then really inspires the person that is in front of my marketing to take action, to make a decision. And that's where we miss, right? We're not actually marketing. We're just putting content out.
Right. Yep.
And that's a tough one. The second part of that was prospecting. You know, you brought up open houses, and you know, we use open houses as a reference here. The nature of open houses, and what a lot of people will do, is they'll go do 1, 2, 3 or 5 open houses, and they won't be rich yet, and they will make the assumption that open houses don't work. You've heard this, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I did. You know, I've been doing open houses for a month, and they just don't work. Okay. Well, tell me more about that. Right. Tell me, like, how you know, where are your open houses? How long are they? You know, and you know, how consistent are they? Are they in the same? You know, you go down this list of things, and you discover, well, this one day I did one for 30 minutes, and then but one day I did one for 2 hours, right? And then the next day I did this, and then I actually had one scheduled, but then this thing came up, and blah blah blah. And then you realize, like, no, you really haven't. And one, you're not qualified to make the assumption that they don't work.
Right.
And I've said this about open houses or any lead generation communication strategy to get businesses. It's all in that consistency. And you said this, consistency is the new currency.
Yeah.
Over the course of a quarter, you might do 15 or 25 or 30 open houses. And in those open houses, one of those open houses, 10 people are going to show up. One's going to have 20. One's going to blow up and it's going to be crazy. 12 of them, one or zero people are going to come through.
Right?
And then there's going to be a handful where 3 to 5 people come through. That is the nature of open houses.
Yep.
Right, you are not going to fix some sort of consistency issue where every house I have guaranteed this many people through. That's not really attainable.
Yep.
So you have to understand the nature of the platform that you're trying to get business from, whether it's internet leads or open houses or Sphere. You have to understand how all of that works.
Yep.
And then judge it after a full quarter. You can say, I did X amount of open houses. I got this many leads. I had this many conversations. I got this many people under contract, and I got this many closed.
Yep.
And then take the closing money, the money that you made from those closes, and then divide it by the amount of open houses you held. And what you're going to find out is you're likely worth quite a bit of money when you hold an open house, regardless of how many people come through.
Yep. And one of the things you just said right there, and you've said this before, is that evaluating over the period of a quarter, you know, and I love that. You know, again, a lot of times we're like, oh, one, it was bad, you know, or two or three, like, or a week, you know, again, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes while one open house has 20 people through and one has 2 people through. You know, you just, the next weekend it could be flipped. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to
same
how
house,
that can
same day, same time,
right,
completely
right.
different results.
Yeah, completely different results. So evaluating things over a quarter. And I think another, you know, with that, you know, I think we go wrong a lot of times in, again, first of all, spending that money, like I'm saying, spend the time to do these types of things, activities, and not necessarily the money, but it's a lot more common for us to look at the ROI. You know, I'm spending this, you know, or I spend X amount for my open house or my marketing piece or whatever it is. And we're not always doing, or not often enough, the ROT, you know, the return on time, you know, and the, again, that's the prospecting type of activities. When I made 100 calls, I got this. When I did 10 open houses, I got this, right? Again, like you're just exactly what you're just saying there is when we evaluate the amount of closings in a quarter divided by the time that we spent to do those things, a lot of times it's we're getting paid like surgeons sometimes, and the opportunity that we have in this industry is incredible, you know, but we're not often enough, I don't believe, evaluating our return on time.
Mm. Let's stay in evaluation, because there's another side of evaluation that people are not considering, and it absolutely is contributing to this massive failure rate. Not to mention contributing to the general feeling that the consumer market has for real estate agents, which is not great, you know, let's face it. But the same evaluation has to go into your skills, right? And I've talked about this a lot. I've talked to a lot of agents that say, well, I'm doing the things, I'm making the calls, I'm going to the open houses. It's like, okay, well, tell me about the conversations that you're having. You know, tell me about your value. Walk me through how, like, how are you going to articulate and present your value to a stranger, right? And they're just like, well, what do you mean? I mean, I have them sign the sheet when they walk in the house, and then I call them later. And it's just like, well, you know, listen, at some point, you've got to take responsibility for your results. And your results aren't just in the consistency of the activity itself. Your results are also in the evaluation and development of your skill set within the action that you're taking as well. And this is where people just don't want to take responsibility for their results. And it and listen, I know that it's not like, I know they're not doing it on purpose, right? It's a human condition. It's just doubt. It's like, it's fear, it's failure. All of that's just, it just gets in our way constantly. Yep. But that's what, like, when you look at the statistics, and I, you know, I did some just bopping around online, and yeah, I just said bop. You know, I'm a new dad. I got all kinds of new fun words to use. But I did some looking around online, and I saw, you know, I saw all kinds of crazy statistics around, you know, at the X percentage of agents do this much of the business, and yada yada yada. And I went through, and it's really hard to find anything that's just really really sticky. Certainly that applies nationally. But one of the things I saw was that the top 1% of agents in the industry generate over 50% of the commission. And I was just like, wow, that, like, you know, that's an interesting number. Right. And we did this little snapshot. Now, you know, full disclosure, this was a snapshot in time years ago within our MLS for Maricopa County, Arizona. And we took a snapshot of that. And what we found in that snapshot, in that very specific point of time, and the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I don't want to just present this as if this is the, you know, the entirety. But in a snapshot of time, we saw that of all of the agents that were licensed in Maricopa County, half of them at the time made absolutely no money. So we wiped them off the table. And then we took the other half, which now represents our whole 100% of agents that at least make $1 in a given year, right? Now, given there's some circumstances here that, like, I know that we're not considering, we're painting with a broad brush here, but it's still interesting. Of the 100% of agents that at least made $1, only 67.5% of them made less than $37,000 a year. That's not what I imagined they thought they would be making in this industry when they got in. So almost 70% of those agents make less than $37,000 a year. Yep. And then we looked at it, and only 8% made $200,000 or more. Now, given snapshot of time, 1 month in Maricopa County, I get that. But I find it pretty interesting going through stats and just preparing for this podcast, how relevant it really is.
So people need to hear that, right? Yeah. They need to hear what the statistics truly are.
Yeah.
And that you're not just going to come into this industry and be an overnight success. Some people strike gold and they are this overnight success. You know, but, you know, the understanding that it's going to take time, that you're going to have to put in the work, that you're going to have to go on the offensive, that you're going to have to go to work. Right.
Learn new skills.
Yeah. Learn new skills, work on your skills, and go to work. And, you know, a word that you've mentioned a couple times is this fear. We're you know, fear, false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
You know, what happens, you know, when's the last, can you think of the last time that you had fear over something and then you went to try to tackle it? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Never is.
We get through it and then we grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So part of that, I think that, again, adding to these, you know, high, you know, failure rates is that we're hesitant to take on and address our fears and fight through them.
Right.
And, you know, we're scared of prospecting. We're scared of rejection. We're scared of, you know, taking the time to set up an open house when it could be a failure. You know what I mean? We're scared to do the, you know, to do the, I don't want to say scared, but, you know, we're fearful that we're going to put out these activities and take this time and this effort, and it might not produce today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I would challenge people out there to take on more fears. You know, do the phones scare you? Make more phone calls. You're going to grow through that. Again, the more fears you overcome and get through, the more personal growth that comes from that,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think as a society, we have, again, the fears creep in and it holds us back.
Yeah.
You know, and in this industry, again, we talk about low barrier of entry. We talk about, you know, all these different things. And we, unfortunately, I think, have a lot of folks that get into this industry specifically because they haven't been successful at something else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Is.
You mm-hmm. know? And so they get into this thing, oh, my friend, you know, John Doe is making a killing, you know, out there selling real estate. It doesn't work. He's got freedom. You know, that's another misconception, too. This isn't freedom.
No, this is the opposite of freedom, yeah. if you ask me.
Anything,
right.
We're serving people on their time and their schedule, but I'm getting off topic. But, you know, again, back to that point that, you know, growing through your fears.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as a society, I think that that's a challenge for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We don't want to face those. It's easy. It's comfortable, you know, and another big, I think, reason for failure rates is that we don't want to do the things that make us uncomfortable. We want it to be comfortable. We want it to be easy. We want it to be nice and, you know, and it's just not the case.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are out there that are having success, you could tie it to a lot of different things, obviously, but generally speaking, they're all what I like to call wildly consistent. You know,
yeah.
And you mentioned the line, you know, consistency is the new currency. You know, think about the marketers that are having success. They're wildly consistent,
mm-hmm.
delivering on all the channels, you know. So again, it's this fear, I think, kind of plays a bigger role than some people want to realize, because again, they think they can get in this industry and it's going to be easy, and then they get in like, oh wow, it's not that easy,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to get outside of my comfort zone. But again, the people that are having success, they're getting outside their comfort zone, you know. And sometimes it can be a small percentage that separates success and not success, you know, and from the unsuccessful, you know, and it's making the two or three or five extra calls that day,
mm-hmm.
or knocking on a couple extra doors than you normally would have, you know,
yeah.
or doing more open houses this month than you typically have been doing. A lot of times it can be a small fraction, you know, you do one or two more for the month and oh man, all of a sudden that right client comes in that leads to how many transactions. A lot of times it's just a small thing,
yeah.
you know, and you were talking earlier when you were kicking this off, and that it's an effort play,
yeah.
you know, it's a commitment to that effort and to, you know, what we call it, the hustle, call it the, you yeah. know, hard work and commitment. And you know, that's always one of the things that, you know, personally has, hopefully, again, we're nowhere near we want to be and all those things, and we're on our way to hopefully being successful. But that's always one of the things that I've relied on, is being able to work hard. You
yeah.
know, I'm not the smartest guy. I don't have all the degrees. You know what I mean? I didn't go to some fancy school and have every, you know, but I do know how to work hard, you know, and grind. And that's another, I think, point that, again, you call it effort, you can call it, you know, where we go wrong in this industry and where the failure rates creep up, is because people are scared to work.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say scared in whatever it is, but we're just not doing, we're not grinding, you know.
We want it to be easy.
We want it to be easy.
Yeah.
And when we were grinding super hard, and we still are in that, like, I don't know what a lunch is. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Taking a lunch? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that is. And again, it's just, it's around the clock. And I think that we have to understand, when we're in that building phase of trying to make it an indie industry,
and have sacrifice.
You have to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's relationships that get sacrificed, and you know, your personal life or this or that. But it comes back to that. You have to be willing to make those sacrifices, and how bad do you really want it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, fear is such a component to building, and you can get really deep into the DNA on this whole thing, and I'm not going to go too deep, but if you go back to and you combine low barrier of entry with the natural behavioral style that this industry attracts, which is a high eye, very social person, you start to get into the majority of the agents having a very specific behavioral style that does not lend itself to rejection well. Right. It does not lend itself to overcoming fear. We're not attracting through the way that we attract agents. We're not attracting the best business minds right. to the table, right?
Right.
And you said it yourself with this consistency thing. It's, you know, you've got to find a way to break through. You're comfortable right now in your life, the way that you do things, how you get up in the morning, your morning routine, you've got these little things throughout the day that make you feel comfortable, and those things are your habits and your rituals. Those are your natural habits and rituals. Those habits and rituals that you do every single day, they contribute to the results that you have in your life right now and will continue to contribute to the results that you have in your life going forward unless you change them.
Yeah.
Well, changing habits and rituals for most people feels like a week, right? Someone will change their habits and rituals for a week and then they'll fall back mm-hmm. because it's hard. So when we talk about effort, when we talk about applying this effort or the grind, and I think that the grind, especially the word grind, has a negative effect on people now because there's so many people that wore it as like this badge of honor, right? Well, I'm a grinder. Right. I grind and you got to grind and everybody's got to grind right, and rah, right. rah, rah. And then all of a sudden it became this really negative word because right. it was kind of politicized in a way. But what we really are talking about is effort. And that effort
sacrifice.
And the consistency of it
yep.
and the sacrifices that you're going to make, because that's what changing habits and rituals that made you comfortable, you're going to sacrifice those now,
yep.
right? And those habits and rituals could include just your general, you know, day and how you go about your day. It can include the relationships that you have, but ultimately you're going to make some sacrifices to change your habits and rituals. It's going to be really, really uncomfortable.
Yep.
And in the process, it's going to take more than a week.
Yep.
I got news for you. It's going to take more than a month. It's yeah. going to take more than 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than a year. And that's why we talked about earlier right. that oftentimes if you can sacrifice for change and last 2 years in the process, it'll start to get a lot easier for you.
And these are a lot of sacrifices that you can't exactly, you know, always pinpoint.
You know? Yeah, you can't predict what they're going
to
be.
Maybe it's sacrificing your own, like you said, your own schedule. Like, maybe I used to work out in the evenings, but now I got clients that want to see property in the evenings
mm-hmm.
and there's networking events and there's this and there's that. Like, maybe I can't work out in the evenings anymore.
But Jeremy, I'm not a morning person.
And that's another, You know, these things that we've told are, that's a whole nother mm-hmm. subject. That's a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother episode right there. These things, these preconceived
limiting
things.
Beliefs.
Right. That
yeah.
have been we've been telling ourselves through our, you know, through the years, like, oh, I'm not a morning person, or I'm this and I'm that. Well, we got to interrupt the pattern.
Right.
You know, interrupt the pattern, and you can do it if you make the choice
yeah.
to do it. And another big thing I think that, where we go wrong and leads to high failure rates in this industry is that a lot of folks get into this business as like a side hustle,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're not fully committed and they're not all in. And they just kind of want to dabble and see if maybe I'll make the move some point. Like maybe I'll
right.
have enough success where I can quit the full-time job and get into this full-time. But if it doesn't take off, then, well, I'm just going to stay with the full-time gig.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with that is that oftentimes, if you think about top producers, all the top producers that you know, right? All the top producers around the country,
mm-hmm.
the majority of those top producers, they have an office.
They're all in.
They're all in,
mm-hmm.
and they have an office and or somewhere to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, again, this working out of the house thing, I did it at the beginning of my career.
I've done it too.
It doesn't. At least it didn't work for me. And I know there's folks out there that have success, you know, being able to work out of the house. And that's what speaks to, you know, finding your own way and finding out what really works for you. And if you're tracking the numbers and you're tracking the productivity, then maybe you could find a way to do that. For me, I know it doesn't work. I have to go to work, you know, and, you know, we have a gentleman, you know, with the brokerage, you know, that he used to work out of the house. He has an office, you know, in one of our offices now, but you know, he worked out of the house for a while and he had some success doing it. One of the things that he used to do is that he'd get up in the morning, he'd get ready, right? Business attire, the whole nines. He'd get in the car and he'd drive around the block or maybe go get a coffee, right? And then pull back into the house and now he's at work, right? It's yeah. game time now. You know, I'm at work, I'm focused, I'm hungry, I'm doing my thing. It's not the honey-do list and doing a load of clothes and whatever those things. Like, he's going to work even though he's working out of the house. And I think that that's an important component, to this industry. To this industry, is that a lot of folks, again, they kind of treat it as a side hustle. They're not going to work every single day. They're not fully committed and diving in with both feet, And for me, like, when I got into this industry, I didn't have anything else to rely on.
Yeah, you know, safety net.
Yeah, there was no set. So it was both feet all in to survive.
Yeah.
And again, people might have some success doing things a different way. Of course, there's
some people
out there.
Do.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Most don't.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being honest, and they call it a side hustle, but in reality, what it is it's a side dip my toe in the pool and
for
it's cold.
Sure.
Right.
For sure.
That's really what. That's really what it is.
And I think it's important to get tapped in to something that's greater than the individual. And I think as a society, that's another area, in my humble opinion, where I think that we go wrong, in that being we're scared to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
We're scared to be like, hey, Brandon, like, you've been producing at a high level and you have incredible, can you help me? Like, what do you think about this? There's so many different roadmaps out there, and I know this is something maybe you wanted to talk about, is that there's so much available, right? And there's so many YouTube videos and training platforms and all the, again, that could be another, show in and of itself. But, putting your hand up and trying to get tapped into something and asking for help, I think as a society, call it pride, call it ego, call it, I'll figure this out on my own kind of a thing.
Most of the time it's avoidance, right? Because what's happening with the majority of people is they're having these fears, right? These reluctancies. They're afraid to take action because they're afraid they're going to get rejected. They're afraid to step out of their comfort zone. They're afraid to be uncomfortable. What they fail to recognize is that the majority of people also feel the same way.
Right.
And instead of talking about it, we don't talk about it because, the way that society has gone, it's just like, bury that stuff, deep down, bootstraps, let's go.
Right.
And it's just like, that's not really how we work. You just kind of said it, we're tribal by nature, like humans are. We like community and culture. Even if you're really intrinsic and you're not like really a social person, you still thrive on being part of a community in one sense or another. And when that community can come together and say, hey, all of these negative things that we feel, we all share those, right? Those are a part of all of our journey. Some of us are better at overcoming them than others. Some have developed confidence over time. That's absolutely part of this. And this is why, like, the work from home stuff, there's some people that figure it out, right? So there's some people that legitimately do it. But for the most part, it's a death sentence.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, and I talk about this a lot in most of my classes and even on this podcast, environment. Like, you can choose your environment. You can make that choice. You can choose to surround yourself with people who are going the same places you want to go. And it's super, super healthy. And you're not going to pick up a guru book on the planet that doesn't say, you are an accumulation of the top five people that you hang out with. Or
again,
you,
common sense, but that's not common practice.
Right. But we're avoiding it for some reason. But environment, in my opinion, is one of the top three most important things for the development of a real estate career, and that is attaching yourself to an environment that's focused on the right things, the consistency of those things, the support systems, the culture and community of growth, personal and professional growth, that, like, you've got to put yourself in that environment around other people who acknowledge their fears and reluctancies and also are striving to create better habits and rituals that will create the results that they want in their life. This is not a solo journey. Get yourself around the right people.
Definitely.
And then, I always say this, like, what's your first hire in real estate?
Right.
The very first hire in real estate, I'll ask people that. Most people say it's a buyer's agent, it's a showing assistant, it's an assistant, it's this, it's that. Your first hire in real estate is accountability. That's your first hire. When you can get that piece taken care of, now you can start settling into what would be real consistency that you're accountable to lead with revenue, to drive your bottom line, to be able to afford the additional leverage, resources, assistance, buyers, agents, leads, whatever it is. But it all starts with you. And I'm a big believer that you can't become that person without first learning the ropes and getting in the right environment. I've always been an advocate for this. How awesome would real estate be if it was done a little bit more like doctors or lawyers? And honestly, I think doctors and lawyers are way above us on the education scale, so I almost feel guilty using them sometimes. But what if there was a mandatory internship and then there was an auditing process for top agents all across the nation, that if you got an internship with them, you knew that, like, man, this is where you're really going to learn. This is where you're really going to figure it out. Right. And then we groomed really professional real estate agents.
Yeah, kind of like they do on the commercial side.
Yeah.
You have to start underneath somebody.
Right? And then all of a sudden, now we're starting quality control. Now we're starting to create a standard of professionalism in the business. One, no one wants to do that because they come in with the idea that I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to be successful, and the stats have been telling us all of nothing. And I want and I want it to be all about me and my own creativity and me.
Right.
And it's just like, this is crushing the consumer opinion of us and has been for decades.
Yep.
Right, but what if that's the way it
looked?
Wouldn't that be something? We could change the whole way that the consumer feels about.
I couldn't agree more in terms of, you know, getting tapped into an environment and realizing it's not all about ourselves and surrounding ourselves with people. Like we said again, it just doesn't happen enough. And by no means do I want to make this a plug about my home group, but one of the things that we've really grown into, and we didn't set out necessarily to do this. Is almost the formula that's kind of appeared before our eyes. And, you know, people look at us sometimes and are like, you guys have great culture and, you know, you, and like, it's like, well, it's not us necessarily. Like, our people are the culture, but that's founded on collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts with collaboration. And I would implore everybody else out there to do the very same thing in terms of collaboration. Get side by side with other business leaders, other people of your community, right? Collaborate with people. Again, be more human and collaborate. So it starts with that, and then it's the three C's, right? Collaboration then drives the community because we're creating the community, and the community drives the culture, right? So again, we can't just decide we're going to have great culture overnight, you know, and the people drive that. But you know, again, it's tapping into something that's bigger than any one individual, and not being scared to put your hand up and ask for help and look for the recipes out there of folks that are having success.
Yeah,
you know,
I want to hit two more things before we wrap this up today, and we got a little bit of time. But one, we talked about education overload and the whole, you know, education process that's built into real estate. But before we do that, I want to talk about chasing popularity and relevance, because right now we're talking about the
individual. This isn't a popularity contest?
Me stuff.
Oh, yeah, all right,
you didn't know.
All right, yeah, shoot.
This is where so many agents get off track. Like, if you're an agent and you're in this business, like this is about you, man. This is about you and your family and the financial trajectory of your life. It's about changing those things, and you've got to stay focused on what matters. And we have a massive problem in real estate, and that is people are putting popularity and relevance in front of as one of their top priorities, in front of productivity
and results
results. And we're hiding behind it. Teams are hiding behind it. People are hiding behind, you know, GCI all the time. And they're not being honest about, you know, their net.
Yeah.
You know, they're not being honest about their profit and loss statements and really what that business is providing. And listen, most of the time, that doesn't mean that that's a bad business. It just means, like, be a little bit more transparent about what it really is, so that we can educate people on, you know, maybe, you know, owning, like, for some reason, owning a team or being, you know, having a team has become this pinnacle, right? Like, if I don't do that, I'm not relevant. Well, what if you're already selling a bunch of houses and you're happy and you're like what do you care about relevancy?
Right.
Because when you start down the path of building a team, you're gonna be right back into a pattern of massive risk association. Right. Now you're gonna have overhead. You're gonna be diverting your time away from the most important things that got you to that point in the first place. But you're chasing it because you want to be relevant. You want to be the guy that was on stage or the girl that was on the panel. And like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Like, is that really that important to you? Because if you really ask them why and you dig down on that, you will see that they assume that that person's life is so much bigger and better than their own.
Right.
And that's not always the case.
Let alone learning and developing new skill sets that come along with that.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because, again, how many folks do you know out there that say, okay, I'm going to go form a team, or I'm going to do this and that, and they don't have the skill sets. They haven't focused on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the big one for me, you know, is that we get into this industry a lot of times. We don't necessarily even look at ourselves like a leader. I know I didn't look at myself like a leader when I first got into this industry. I was 21 years old. I didn't know anything from anything.
Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, developing those skills, you know, leadership skills, mm-hmm. You know, human behavior, you know,
understanding.
Yeah. The skills to understand, understand human
behavior. Great leaders have a very keen understanding of empathy.
Yeah.
They really understand that the lens in which they see the world is not a shared lens. It's their own.
Yeah. That's a great word. We've been using that word a lot lately too. I think it's incredibly important. Empathy.
Yeah.
You know, and it transcends across this entire industry and everything we're really doing.
Yeah.
It's a powerful word.
But going down this path it's a big deal. I mean, you might be a phenomenal real estate agent, but that doesn't automatically qualify you to be a great leader, a great business owner, responsible for, you know, the overhead and the risk association and the CRM and the development and the training and the hiring and the retention. All of these things represent risk. And most times when you start down that path, you're going to make less, you're going to sacrifice, and you're going to risk long periods of time before you ever actually make the same amount and then eventually build more.
Right.
And you're going to have to be all in on that. You're going to have to be all in on people, right? Yep. And that's like, that is a massive, massive commitment.
Yep.
And it is why you don't see a lot of teams thrive. I think I saw some stat last year where it was like partnerships and teams, like the failure rate there was higher than the individual agent failure rate.
Wow.
And a lot of that is because they just feel like, well, we sell some real estate, so now we should grow a team.
And I think a lot of it's based on want and not necessarily on need.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the team leaders that you see that have success out there, it's not just because they wanted to form a team. It's because they needed to form a team.
Right.
They needed to create that leverage. They needed to have resources.
They had the business mind for it.
Right. Yeah. They had the business first.
Yeah, that
and
helps.
The business, right. Yeah, and the business mind, and then the team forms around them,
yeah.
You know, versus going necessarily out and say, well, I just want to form a team. You know, I think that that's where a lot of folks go wrong, too, is that they don't even have the business there themselves, but then they want to go out and form this team.
Yeah, and the problem there is they think that, well, I just need, you say someone, well, I'm going to build a team. So, oh, okay, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get a bunch of buyer's agents and they're going to sell a bunch of real estate for me.
Right.
I'm just like, you know that's not how this works, right?
Right,
like,
right?
But that is the general consensus. Well, from the outside looking in, it just looks like you've convinced a whole bunch of people to sell real estate for you.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my goodness, like your lack of understanding about the systems and processes and training and hiring, retention, all of the things that are involved here that create value for the agents that are joining the team, like that's what a team is.
Yep.
And it's pretty wild to see how much of a lack of understanding the majority of our industry has in what a team really is, what a group really is, what is any of this stuff. Someone pull back the curtain and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do here today, man.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But let's bring it over to education overload. We talk about this quite often. There's so much education, and the truth is, you mean you're a broker owner. You want to provide as much education as you possibly can, and that's natural, right? That's you want to pour value into people. That being said, there's a ton of education overload, and a lot of times the education doesn't communicate with itself, right? They're bolt-ons. There's so many bolt-ons.
Well, and implementation is where I was going to take that as well, too, is that we have so much education out there, and there are so many people that are delivering value, and some of them are fantastic. You know, we would like to think that the value of the Workshop Wednesdays and what we're doing, the people that we bring in, folks like yourself that can deliver real, true value, that it then becomes implementation issue, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like folks out there that are like reading a new book every single week, but then they don't implement everything, right? Like we've all heard and know people out there like that. You know, do you want to read 50 different books this year, or do you want to read a handful and actually implement the things that you're learning from those books? And I think that that's where a lot of us go wrong too, is that we want to just keep feeding and we don't just do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's taking those things and doing it.
I've said this multiple times. I'm sure there's someone listening to the podcast going, he's going to say it. And you're right. I'm going to say it. education without implementation is just entertainment, and it masquerades as work. And this is what happens in real estate: is agents go out there and they go to, you know, they go to this class on Monday and this one on Tuesday and this networking event on Wednesday, and then Thursday they go to this other class and then Friday, and they convince themselves that that's work. I'm working.
So no, right.
One, you're educating yourself and you're not implementing anything.
So
and,
true.
And the crazy thing about this is our freaking industry is so simple. Like, success in our industry is so simple. It is it is in the mastery of the fundamentals. But it's really hard to sell mastery of the fundamentals because it's not
complex and sexy
yeah, yeah. And, you know, whatever. And that's where you start to get kind of caught up in this whole bolt-on. Well, there's this super complex idea over here, and I got to implement that. And the guy that was on stage or the girl that was on stage sold it, and it was just so great, and I got to do that, and I'm going to pay $2,500, and all my problems are going to be solved. And then your problems aren't solved. And then you get sucked into that cycle again and again and again. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, if people could understand that it is in the mastery of fundamentals in real estate, intrapersonal skills, communication, objection handling, communicating your value, articulating your value, being a phenomenal communicator, expectation setter. Some of these very, very simple things can solve so many of your problems and help you build your business.
Definitely. I love that you said, education, you know, without implementation is just
entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And that's not the real work, right? I mean, going to a class, reading a book, you know, studying, that's not the real work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even implementation in itself, there's levels to it, right? There's a general surface level implementation that you can use. But oftentimes, whatever you're implementing, the massive success in that particular strategy comes not in just implementation, but mastery of it, testing it, you know, trials and failures and reevaluation and building on that concept. Yeah. Yeah. It's the sequential nature of business building. You only go a couple feet deep, you know, on that deal, and then you don't have your immediate results. So you pop over and like, let me find the next thing to implement.
Yeah.
You never go deep enough for it to actually produce results.
Right. Yeah. And so implementation is key. I think we've said that, but you know, even taking it a step back is, a lot of times I think that we're learning and reaching out to the wrong people. We're learning from the wrong people. And sometimes we're just not even getting to that step.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, when I got into this industry, I wasn't seeking that out, right? Like even that first step of learning. And then obviously the differentiator being that actual implementation. But, I think that people need to be careful who they're learning from, you know, and first of all, making a choice that they're going to learn, but then ultimately that choice, like we said, that you're going to implement. But because again, there's so many trainers and coaches and
false
this
prophets.
And that and false prophets.
We have more false prophets in real estate than I've seen in any industry ever.
And the folks that are some of the most well-known, biggest names, you know, haven't even done what you and I have done, but yet they're coaching agents on how to be successful. It blows my mind sometimes.
My business coach, one of the many people that I employ to coach me and hold me accountable, calls it stage talk. Mm-hmm. There's so much stage talk going on out there. Yep. And listen, some of it's for good. You're trying to help people, but some of it is just setting such crazy expectations for what success really looks like in this business, or the reality of implementation for specific things you're learning.
Right.
It's stage talk. And a lot of it ties back to the chasing popularity or relevance, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a weird cycle. And as a new agent or developing agent or someone who wants to, like, just having an understanding that this is our industry as well, and that you're responsible for fishing through this stuff. You know, you're responsible for taking everything with a grain of salt, and ultimately you're taking responsibility to implement and taking responsibility for your own results.
Again, we've said it multiple times now, but that's the kicker. We're not saying don't get coached. We're not saying don't spend
money
in personal growth.
Yeah.
You have coaches. I have coaches. Yeah. You know, a lot of other folks out there that are successful doing it at a high level, they have coaches. So we're not saying don't necessarily spend the money for your own personal growth and to have coaches. It's just making sure you're tapping into the right folks.
And go deep enough with them.
And then go deep enough, right?
Go deep. Like, success is sequential.
Yeah.
Do it for a long enough period of time so that it can generate a result.
And that's just it. Time on task, right? I mean, that's another point in and of itself is that, again, I know we've mentioned a little bit about this, but we think that it's going to happen overnight. We're going to have this overnight success, and it's just not the case. You know, it's putting in the time, over the period, you know, putting in enough work over a period of time that continues to compound over, you know, on itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at other industries and the time that it takes to even, you know, how long does it take to get a, you know, a pilot's license? I mean, don't you have to do like, it's like 10,000, I don't know. I mean,
can
it's like
do it
10,
online?
Yeah, like
you take your state test.
Yeah, you can do that at the arcade, right?
Right.
Like I think it's like 10,000 hours or something absurd, right? to get a pilot's license. And obviously that's an important, you know, and it's something that's very, very important to make sure that you have that education and the test runs to be able to go out there and do that. But think about how long it takes for a pilot to become a master.
Yeah.
10,000 hours, whatever it is. Like I said, I don't even know. Are we all committed out there? Have we all put in our 10,000 hours?
Yeah.
You know?
Have we all even put in enough time and effort in our skill development to earn $100,000 a year? That's the number that everyone throws out. What do you want to make in real estate? Well, I want to start with $100,000 a year. It's just like, you know, no rhyme or reason for it.
It's a nice big round number.
You know, in that world, it's like, that seems like a lot of money. I'll go for that.
Right.
Well, what are you willing to do to get there? Because everywhere else in the capitalism framework, you're going to have to really work to get to that number.
Right.
So that's no different in our industry. What are you going to do
to
get there? Because you're responsible. Ultimately, you got to wake up, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm responsible for the results that I want to produce today.
Yep.
I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of circumstance. If things aren't going my way, it's not Jeremy's fault or Brandon's fault or somebody else's fault. That's human interaction. It's not always going to be perfect and in my best interest. So what am I going to do today to take responsibility to generate the results that I want in my life?
Yep.
And I think that if you can get to that point, you're setting yourself up for success, because now you're accepting the fact that I'm responsible, man. I got to own my own level of participation to make this happen for me. No one's going to just line it up on a silver platter.
That's a great point. You know, and this is things we even talk to our staff about, and people, you know, who's responsible for your success?
Yeah.
You know, and if the answer is not immediately me, myself, and I am responsible, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to do it, you know, for your, you know, folks on your team. I'm not going to do it. Like, they have to ultimately be the one that is going to go out there and do the work, you know, and taking that personal responsibility. And that's another thing I think as a society, I think that we struggle with, not even just necessarily in this industry, but I think that we have a lot of folks throughout society that get into this industry that it's, you know, amplified.
Mm-hmm.
But as a society, I think that we struggle with taking that personal responsibility. We want to point the finger. It's easy to, you know, to point the finger at somebody else. And, you know, taking it a step further is that in this industry, not even just taking responsibility for your own success, but taking responsibility for the entire transaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have a buyer that has one experience, you know, with the very same, and a seller that has a wildly different experience, you know, with the very same transaction. And it's because one agent wanted to point the finger at everything else that went wrong, and one agent accepts full responsibility and then communicates that to their client or consumer, and it creates this wildly different experience.
I love that. That's taking responsibility for creating professional communication inside the framework of fiduciary. And if you're interested in that topic, check out the previous podcast that we did, Communication is King. We literally dive into that for a whole hour about communication and how important it is to own the responsibility of professional communication.
Yep.
So to wrap this up, because the time warp that is this room has got us at 62 minutes already. So to wrap this up, what I want to do is let's just go through a couple of things. You know, let's each give three things. What would we tell someone considering a career in real estate? What's the first thing that you would tell them?
I think we've touched on this. It's not going to be easy. It's a long game play, and it's going to take time. And again, I'm still trying to put the framework around my line. But again, there's no patience in this business. You have to take your own destiny into your own hands, and you have to go on the offensive. And you can't have any patience for anyone, anything other than the time that it takes to build this business, right? You know, another one would be, you know, the word commitment. I love the word commitment. You know, it's being fully committed, and nothing's going to stand in your way, and understanding that we might drift, you know, life happens, right? We might drift off track, but if you're wildly committed, you'll get back on track. You know, the last, you know, one I don't even know that I have. I have to create my third one here. You're putting me on the spot.
Fling it out there.
Yeah, just
what do you got? See if it sticks.
I think the other big piece is surrounding yourself with people that are doing it at a high level and getting tapped into something which kind of is coupled with, you know, going to work every single day and, putting your hand up and asking for help, you know, and surrounding yourselves with a community that shares the same vision of getting to that next level.
Yeah. You so thieved a bunch of mine. Now I gotta just rip stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say like be okay with keeping a very narrow focus when you come into real estate, like not trying to do all things, right? Like you're not having to round, you don't need to create a brand when you get in. You are the brand when you get into real estate. It is you, it is your name, it is your professional performance. That is your brand.
100%.
What happens is they come in and they get caught up in the creative aspects of their brand, right? Now I need a logo and I need this Facebook page and I need this, you know, I need all of this to make me look good, right? Like you are the brand. Stop getting overly creative. You've got work to do. There'll be time for that in the future, and you'll likely need to just at some point leverage that out. You're going to pay someone to do it professionally for you. Mm-hmm. But for now, cut the crap on the logos and the Facebook pages and the professional pages and all this stuff, and you own the fact that you are your brand. Yeah. Now get to work. I've said this before, and you kind of touched on it here. I'm a big believer environment is number one. Consider something like an internship. There are phenomenal teams out there. There are people who you definitely want to learn business from. And if you can get into that cycle and learn not only how to sell real estate and how to stay focused, how to keep your focus narrowed on the most important productivity generators that you can do to help you build revenue early and fast, get in an environment that also shows you the business. Mm-hmm. Like get around someone who shows you like, here's why we're making the decisions. Here's where the money's going. Here's what the leverage does for you. Like learn the totality of the business of real estate and not just sale. I'm going to sell a house or help someone buy a house.
Yep.
Right. So that environment to me is just one of the most important things. And lastly, I would say stop with the trying to keep your whole commission. Right. You've already come into this industry and calculated 3% of everything. And you've mentally deposited that into your hope bank. And it's not real. In this business, there are commission splits everywhere. And listen, some of them are really worth it. And some of them are not worth it one bit. And just because one wasn't worth it doesn't mean the next one will. You don't have enough knowledge about this industry to understand or make some broad assumption that like, oh, I came from this team, therefore all teams are bad. Oh, I came from this brokerage, therefore all those brokerages are bad. You don't know. You have one very narrowed, you know, experience on that. If you're going to get into that, and I suggest anyone coming into the industry should. I if I was doing it over again, and I did it this way, even I got in with a team and I learned. And I learned some really valuable stuff, not just on what to do, but also what not to do. Mm-hmm. But I learned and I saw it as an internship, and it was a catalyst for me. It was a catalyst for me in my career. And I think that you got to be okay with understanding that commission splits are value exchanges. Right? It is an exchange of value. And if you don't have the business acumen to understand the value of leverage, then learn it. Understand it, right? Like Gary Keller wrote the MREA book a long time ago, and the millionaire real estate agent model showed that most businesses are going to profit somewhere between 38 and 42% out of 7-level business that have all the resources and leverage that you could have to live this amazing life. Well, what a lot of people don't know is you can now plug into that and not assume the risk of the overhead and all of that. Yeah. And your commission split might be 50, it might be 70, it might be 85, whatever it is, you're keeping 50, 70, or 85% of your commission with no risk, no association to hiring or retaining talent, excuse me, no training. And if you don't sell real estate next month, you don't have to pay the staff.
Right.
You just don't get paid.
Right.
So I think the more you can really understand the business of the industry and all the things in it, and then say, where can I grow the fastest?
Yep.
Personally, professionally, how can I find leverage? In my opinion, the quicker you get into the necessary leverage of the business, the quicker you're going to grow.
Yep.
So I would say focus on those.
If I was to add a fourth thing, if I may.
You may.
Is that treating this like a business owner. You know, a lot of folks, I think, get into this industry and they don't consider themselves a business owner.
Just an agent.
Just an agent in sales or a salesperson, right? You're a business owner. That means you have a P&L.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means you're tracking all the things that come along,
know
you know, with
money.
That, right? You know, And so I mean, that would be my last thing is treating this like a business and being a business owner.
Oh, good. Then I got to throw a fourth on too.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because what you just said, P&L, treating it like a business, know your money, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
I can't believe like how many agents come into this business. And listen, I've been honest on this podcast too. My first couple of big years in real estate, I lived as if my entire paycheck didn't. I gotta save taxes, right? You got to pay that stuff, and it'll sneak up on you if you're a good agent, and all of a sudden you did 15 or 20 or 24 deals in a year, and you're living it, and you're going, my gosh, I'm doing so good, and that money's hitting your account, and at the end of the year you go, there's business taxes.
It's part of being a business owner. And my man, I'm not trying to one up you here. This show's
go
never going to end.
Go. Let's do it.
Do you have a willingness to not make any money? If you're a business owner,
are you stubborn enough to make it?
Are you stubborn enough to make it? And as a business owner, because again, we just said, look, you need to be a business owner, and this goes for any business on planet Earth that you're gonna start. How long are you not willing to make money for? And again, we have to survive. Don't get me wrong. Not saying make zero money so that you're robbing, begging, and stealing. But how long are you willing to go to put in that effort, that grind, that foundation while you're not making any money, knowing that it will come. If you stay consistent in a lot of the things we're talking about, focusing, attaching to the process, that it will come. But how long are you willing to go for, while it takes the time to build?
Oh, man. One of my coaches, mentors, Michael Mayer, author of 7 Levels of Communication, he says it like this. He says, amateurs leap for their dreams and pros build a bridge. And the amateur wants to just run as fast as they can, jump off that cliff and hope that they make it to the other side, right? But it's dark, so they don't actually know how close they are. And when the light comes out, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm 1/100th of the way when I leap my hardest, running my fastest. Yep. And that, and that's that 95%, these leapers. I just want to jump and hope that it works out. Well, pros build a bridge, man, and it costs money for the materials to build the bridge, and your knuckles are bleeding and you're sore and your back hurts because you're doing all this stuff. And then once that bridge is built, you're just flying across that. And you've got, you just have to understand that you're an entrepreneur, you're a business person now, like you said, and you got to own that. And if you want to last in this industry, you got to see yourself as a business person and take that responsibility and get out of the little bubble of that you're just an agent.
Dude, I want to thank you, man. I want to thank you for having me on the show. I want to thank you for your contribution to this industry, not just the podcast that you're doing here, but you're going around the valley teaching and coaching and inspiring. And I know every time I spend time with you, man, I walk away more inspired than I did previously. And I know that you have that effect on a lot of people out there that are fortunate enough to spend some time with you, man. So I just want to say thank you for your contribution. I hope folks can get tapped into this, and come to your next class or come the next time they have an opportunity to hear you speak on something, specifically, which, is generally what you're coaching and teaching on. But again, man, I want to thank you for your contribution.
Well, thank you, man. It's that vote of confidence that has kind of inspired the Authentic Agent in the first place, and what we're doing with the Authentic Agent brand and turning that into a skill building, coaching, training, super affordable for everybody. Keep an eye on what we're doing here at Authentic Agent for the next 6 months, because we're going to be rolling out some really fun stuff, and we're going to be super authentic, humble, and honest about success in real estate and what you can plug in to do it. That's always been one of my missions, man, right? Is when I first started this, it was change the way that the consumer views the real estate agent. I've always said, when I'm at a networking group or I'm around a bunch of other professionals, and this person says, I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer or I'm this or I'm that, and I want to be able to say, I'm a real estate agent, and I want to be able to say that without everybody going, little smirk, right? Oh God, here, another one of these guys, right? I want to feel like our industry can be respected, and I believe that it can, but we have some changes to make, and we have some standards to, one, identify and then uphold. And I just hope to contribute to that in some small way.
Yeah, you are. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So thank you, man. And thank you guys for tuning in. We are going to be here next week. And actually next week, Kyle, our CEO at BTG Real Estate, has convinced me to tell the story about failure and the development of BTG Real Estate, and my story from start to finish, which is riddled with failure. So if you're interested in my story in general or how BTG was developed and all the things that we went through, I'm going to be super transparent and just let it all hang out there. And I think a lot of you will be surprised. surprised about this journey. I think a lot of people just have a tendency to see us where we're now, where we're at now, and and not like what, you know, all of the
man.
The
I should come back and
through.
Say that for myself.
So that's going to be fun, and it's going to be a fun way for a lot of people to get to know me and the Authentic Agent and where all of this came from. So thank you guys for tuning in today. Catch us next Thursday when we go over that. We'll have Jeremy back on the podcast in the future. Make it a great day and have a great weekend.
See you. Bye.